we are to gather together here upon the first day of the week is, one, of course, as we just done, is taking the Lord's Supper, which is in remembrance of our Lord and Savior. It's about remembering Him. It's about worshiping our God, thanking Him for that sacrifice. Another reason, as we turn to Hebrews in chapter 10, and we would see that we're to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And so our actions as we come together is something that should not come from our own selfish ambitions. But they rather should come from our love for God and our love for one another. And of course, it should be about us striving our best to get to heaven and doing what is good for us, working out our own salvation. But it's something that should not just solely be on our selfish desires and our wants. Because it's about obeying God. Why we desire to get to heaven, it's about worshiping Him and being thankful to Him and giving back to Him. So what I want to talk about this morning is to talk about selfishness. And we turn to James again, as you continue to think about a lesson, you put lessons together, you get yourself in trouble because you just don't stop thinking, and you think, oh, that'll go good with it, so it's not in the lesson. You mess yourself up by adding extra scriptures, but I shouldn't mess myself up too much. So in James chapter 4, as I did not put this in the lesson because I was trying to focus on a certain point of selfishness, not a broadcast of talking about what we normally do in selfishness, but in understanding, of course, it comes from our desires. And that's what I want to point out here at the very beginning is James chapter 4 and verse 1 says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly and spend it on your passions. You adulterers and people, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is an enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be friends of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So it comes down to being selfish, because it comes to our desires, our wants above God's. And so I ask that you open up your Bibles and follow along. The first point that we're going to be looking at is going forward to just talk about showing throughout the Word of God that we're not to be selfish people. I want to go forth and look at a couple of scriptures that point to me a better definition of selfishness. And then we'll have a final point for the lesson this morning. And so there's many verses throughout the Word of God that tells us, don't be selfish. That point to us caring for one another, that we should love one another, not be selfish. And so Romans chapter 2, and in verse 3, says, do you suppose, O man, you who judge those and practice such things, and yet do them yourselves, that you will escape the judgment of God? And again, it's not the verse that I had in mind. But it goes along with the lesson. We'll use it. And as it's going forth and talking about judging one another, and I'm going to look ahead myself here because I know there's a verse in Romans. As we talked about a couple weeks back, talking about being caring for one another, I believe that's a verse I'm going to be bringing out in Romans 15. And so I'm going to stick with this, Romans 2 and verse 3, as it talks about not judging one another in our practices. And we get caught up in judging each other more on sometimes our opinions rather than book, chapter, and verse and looking to the Word of God. And we feel like our opinions should matter more than others, or that we should be considered more than others. And that's not so. As we, again, talked recently about why churches sometimes divide and they get caught up in splitting, we talked about reasons why we shouldn't divide and reasons we should not split in the matter of opinions and matters that are not God commanded you to do this and you're not doing it. God commanded you to stay away from this and you are going to it. It's, you know, you feel like, you know, we should not have two services on Sunday, or you feel like we should have two services on Sunday, or you feel like, you know, we shouldn't have a midweek Bible class, or you feel like we should. Again, those are things that are not book, chapter, and verse. They're not commands of God. These are things of, well, Are they a, do they assist? Can we use it? Is it going to help? And working out with each other and helping one another. Not being selfish towards one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 24, it says, "Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor." Again, here, not seeking out your own good, but seeking out the good for your neighbor. Looking out for each other. It's clearly making that point that we're not to be selfish here. It's not, again, saying that, we can't do what is right. We have to do what is right for us and our family. Well, he who does not provide for his own is worse than an unbeliever. So we have to make sure that, we work enough to provide for our family. We have to make sure that, we don't give everything away that, that's at our house, in our pantry, and then when it comes to dinner time, the children and your, spouse has no food. We have to provide. We have to take care of one another. So not deny yourself completely here and give everything away, but we are looking out for what is good for others also. And we don't go around just thinking, me, myself, and I. Again, another thing that, came to my mind, not necessarily in my notes here, but, an older country song. I'm not going to try to attempt to say who sings it and to say that it's a song you need to go listen to or anything. But as I can recall, I want to talk about me, myself, my I, number one, my, at one time I could probably sing it all. But you like talking about you. So one person likes talking about themselves, and he listens and usually listens to it. But then he gets caught up in his selfish thoughts and says, but every now and then, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about, I want my desires, my wants. I want to do what I want to do. We get caught up in being selfish so easily. It's so easy to get caught up in just doing everything that goes in the direction of the things you enjoy doing, that you want to do, that assists you and helps you out. Do we ever sit back and say, no, I really don't like doing that, but I'll go do it because it's something you like. Doing, this is not the easiest thing or the funnest thing, but I know it will be good for the service of God. It'll provide the opportunity maybe down the road to have a Bible study with so-and-so. By doing this one good deed, by doing this good will for somebody else. Looking out for what is good for others. In Romans chapter 15, in verse 2, it says, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up." To build him up again. To encourage, to edify, to lift each other up. The continuous throughout the Word of God, this love that we're supposed to have for one another. Again, this is the second greatest command in the Word of God as we turn to Mark in chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and reading here in verse 31. As it reads and tells us, it says, "The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Again, it doesn't say you're not supposed to love yourself, because you're loving your neighbor as yourself. If one hates himself, one can't stand himself, one is always beating himself up and has no, then how are we going to treat others? That's not what it's telling us. Rather, loving our neighbors as ourselves, loving one another, having brotherly love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we live our lives upon this earth, we cannot be selfish. Again, that is just the complete opposite of our God. God who created everything here and then said, "I'm going to give dominion over all the fish, over all the creatures to mankind. I'm going to give them the authority and power and knowledge to rule over them." And then when we sin and we fall short and we go off the deep end, he says, "I'm going to provide a way for them to come back. I'm going to sacrifice my only son." There's nothing selfish in God's actions. Everything he's done in providing for us and giving to us and letting us have knowledge and letting us have a way to get to heaven and be patient and kind to us. To be selfish would be going against God, would not be following in the footsteps of Christ. I believe a couple of good verses to help us understand selfishness is one to turn to Judges chapter 21. Judges chapter 21, when we had studied this a while back in the adult class, we went through these verses. There's a few verses in Judges, but we had talked about this point a few times and even brought it out in other lessons and sermons. As we read here, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. I mean, making it plain and simple that they were selfish, doing what was right in their own mind, in their own eyes, deciding to do what they wanted to do because it's what they wanted. Not in what is right for my brother and sister, what is right for my neighbor, what is right for the king. But because there was no king, because they didn't have someone dwelling over them and just making it harsh and putting down the law, they did whatever they wanted to do. They did not seek out God and ask Him what they should do. They did not go to the priest and seek out them what they should do. They were doing what was right in their own eyes. And when we choose to go into sin, we turn to 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 9 and 10 and read about those sins listed there, or Revelation 21 and verse 8, and see those who are going to be cast into the lake of fire, that those decisions to get caught up in lying and murder and get caught up in adultery and fornication, that is all about your selfish own desires. What you want, what you think will feel good, what you think will be fun to do, what you want to do. For some reason or another, it comes down to your desire that was in that temptation. When you give in to sin, when you go down that road. In Mark chapter 8, it comes down to what you're willing to exchange, what you're willing to give up, because you choose it more valuable than your soul. You choose it more valuable than that home in heaven. And so you read here in Mark chapter 8, and you read in verse 34, and it says, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? Again, it's because you're willing to give up something. Something you want so badly. Something you desire so much that you have idolized and put before God. Something you desire. There's some people, again, a lot of people that you might get caught up saying, well, they just don't realize how selfish they're being. I truly believe that there are times in which people don't understand, don't realize that they're being selfish. There's other times that you just know that that person has to realize that they're selfish, right? Just like they are just all about themselves and there's no denying. But there's times in which we act and we go through our lives, and because we are actually considering other people in a way of doing, we're considering their how they're going to receive something you're going to tell them. You're considering what other people are going to think about you. And so we have a mindset of thinking about others. Truly, when it comes down to it, it's actually about us and our selfish desires and what we don't want to deal with or what we do want to happen and some of the decisions we make. And pointing out of do we realize when we are selfish, bringing out the question, when we are willing to approach our brother in sin or anyone that is in sin, are we being selfish if we don't go do that? Not willing to go and approach somebody who has sinned against you, who has fallen from grace. If they have sinned, they have fallen from grace. They have sinned not only against you, but then they have sinned against God. Again, you go to the story of the parable of the prodigal son, And that he comes back, he says, I have not sinned against you only, but against the God. Again, you go back to Ananias and Sapphira, as they have lied to Peter, not only did they lie to Peter, they lied to God. So when we sin against God. And so here it says in Matthew 18, verse 15, it tells us, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Look at what we are going to gain if things work out well, right? That is the goal. That is what we're reaching for. That is what we're striving for. That is the goal, is to gain your brother back. And so if that is the goal, then we should want and be willing to go and tell our brothers their fault, if they have sinned against us, if we know that there's sin in their life. But the selfishness part of us, one that I hope that's not there, and to the point of saying, well, I just don't want to forgive them. I just don't want, I'm not at that point where I can confront them, because I'm going to yell at them and I'm going to put it in their face. That's a selfish part. That is your desires and unwillingness to forgive them and unwilling to do good to them, unwilling to save them and help them. Another part would be being selfish because we don't want to stir up anything. I'm worried that if I approach them that it might get worse. We're worried about conflict and we don't want to deal with any conflict. And because I don't handle that well, I'm going to be selfish and not even bring it up. And so instead we allow our brother to continue in sin and we're not willing to approach the people in sin. Is that selfishness? Plain and simple, that if just because you feel like it's going to be uncomfortable, because we feel like it might cause even more of a problem and then you're going to be in the middle of it. Is that not some of the times that the things that go through our minds? We sit there and just keep your mouth shut. And understand, again, not going back to if it's a matter of opinion. If it's a matter of opinion, then yeah, go ahead, keep your mouth shut. Don't stir up the pot. But if it's sin, if it's something that is going to cause your brother in Christ to not enter into the kingdom of heaven, and just because you don't want to stir up any conflict, you don't want to be in the middle of it, you're not going to say anything. It comes from our selfish desires. About shining our light into this world, in Matthew chapter 5, again, we're supposed to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And so it reads here, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled underfoot, under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. How selfish are we if we try to keep that light to ourselves? And again, there is a line there that we don't want to cross, and to the point of that you go and you let everybody please be quiet, I'm going to pray in the middle of a restaurant or in the middle of school or work. Announcing it and doing it so that you're seen by men. Everybody be quiet, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm not going forth and doing things just to be seen by men like the scribes and the Pharisees that were warned not to be like. But we also don't keep that hindering us from doing what we believe we should do and carrying a Bible with us and praying in times that you might be in public and someone's going to see you pray. Or being willing to step up and dress modestly or ask people not to speak a certain way or to curse around you or to tell filthy jokes around you because you are a Christian, you are a follower of Christ. You don't want to hear that kind of language. You don't want to be around those kind of jokes. You don't want to be around that immodesty dress. But man, that's going to be embarrassing. We are worried what other people will say about us. We're worried about what other people are going to think about us. We're worried about not fitting in. again, we've had classes, and I've talked to teenagers and kids, and this, I think most people know, I play volleyball. A rec league with adults, a couple members here and some members from Southside get together. We go play in the rec league here in the parks. I like volleyball. It's fun. I find it fun. I know some people don't. But when it comes to volleyball competitiveness in high school and in college, it's very modest. Very modest. Though I've seen it, and I've known others that have stepped up and asked their coach and fought the system to be able to wear something longer, more loose, and not so tight to be able to play volleyball. But I've also heard others who say, well, I know that you might be able to, but it would be weird to be the only person doing it. That's a selfish desire. Saying I'm willing to give in to sin because I don't want to be the one left out. Because I don't want to be the weird one. Guys, we have to be willing to be a light to the world. And if we take God's light, we take it and we say, God is so great, God is so awesome, God is so loving, and He's forgiven my sins, but I'm going to keep it to myself over here in my pocket. And no one else is ever going to know. No one's going to see that light. Selfishness. God has given you such a great gift, and we cannot keep it to ourselves. We have to be willing to go and give it to others. Is it selfish not to get baptized? To obey the gospel? Again, it comes down to, well, that's my choice. It's not affecting anybody, but it is affecting others. When one chooses not to obey the gospel, it affects those who are around. It puts temptation at other people's doors that you may not realize is tempting others. When people were converted, as we study through the book of Acts, sometimes it was not just one person, but it was a whole household. In Acts chapter 10, when we look at Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, and look at verse 27, when Peter had got there and he started speaking, he didn't just speak to Cornelius and Cornelius alone. As you read here in Acts 10, 27, it says there, it says, and he talked with him, and he went and found many persons gathered, likely servants, likely family members, and maybe even neighbors, others that he brought. Many people have gathered. By one person doing good works and being loving to God and giving alms generously and praying continuously, the Lord appeared, an angel appeared to him, sent him to find Peter so that he could receive the word of what he needed to do. He didn't keep it to himself. He gave it to others. He didn't say, I'm going to have Peter one-on-one time and hear what he has to say and keep it to myself. But rather, because he opened up and taught it to others, allowed Peter to teach it to many people. There was more than one step. Again, we have the example in Acts chapter 16 of the Philippian jailer. That again, he didn't keep it to himself. He didn't hold it within to himself and be selfish and keep it, but he took it to all his family and household. So you read here in Acts 16, verse 33, it says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. And so why it's selfish if you choose not to is the example that you set for your family. Is that when we choose not to, if you have children, the temptation that you set at children, well, I want to be like mom or dad, that is not. You know, if they don't think it's necessary, then why would I think it's necessary? The temptation that we set there to our family as children, if you choose not to obey the gospel, again, I've known many brethren that have fallen away, that have changed their view of doctrine of the Word of God, whether it be marriage, divorce, remarriage, homosexuality, other religions, other doctrines and teachings, that they will change it because all of a sudden their children decide to go a different direction. Because their children got divorced, because their children got caught up in homosexuality, because their children, and so the parents all of a sudden accept that teaching.
So same thing as his children, if we choose not to obey the gospel, the example that you set for your parents, if your parents have not obeyed the gospel. You could be the one that influences them and encourages them to obey the gospel, to make their life right, to make sure that they have a home in heaven. But it'd be selfish because you're choosing not to. Choosing not to obey the gospel because whatever reason it may be. You know, again, many get caught up in the mindset as you study with them if they are being converted from another religion of hard to accept it because of family members. Because mom and dad weren't members of the Church of Christ, because grandma and grandpa weren't members or weren't baptized for the remission of sins, for forgiveness of sins. And so therefore, they won't obey it because that would mean they have to accept it, that they weren't baptized for a scriptural reason. Again, that comes down to a selfish choice of not willing to admit it to yourself. And again, not knowing how the day of judgment will be, not knowing, but looking at the example of the rich man and Lazarus. I mean, have the rich man down there who's able to see, he's able to do a little bit of talking, it seems like. Don't know if that's how it's really going to be or not. But how selfish it will sound if you go into torment and you run into your family members and you say, well, I never obeyed the gospel, though I knew the truth, just because I couldn't draw myself to accept that you might not be in heaven also. How much more torment that puts on that person. I mean, think about the rich man. The rich man said, please send him back so that my brothers don't come here. That was what he was concerned about. He wasn't concerned. He did want some, you know, he wanted relief himself, but he was concerned about his brothers. He said, at least maybe my brothers won't come here. Think of those brothers end up there and they say, well, I wasn't willing to accept it because you never did it. How much more torment, how much more pain that would cause on that person. Again, hell has to much be bad, how bad it has to be, how much torment it has to be. But on the heart, how much worse it's going to be if you think that you set a bad example for someone else. Selfishness. Well, not to be selfish people. As we look at the example that God has given to us, if we are truly concerned for one another, we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we love our children, we love our spouse, we love our neighbors, then you're going to obey the commandments of God. Because that's how we can show our love to one another, is by living faithfully in the footsteps of Christ. By giving that example and shining that light, leading others, saying this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to repent of your sins. You're supposed to confess your faith. You're supposed to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And you can tell that story to others, just as Paul, he used his story. He used his life example to teach us. That's why when we went into Acts 22, that's not when it took place. It took place back in Acts 9. But he was able to use his teaching to teach others. And that's what we can do with our life. We can use it to teach others. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If any here wants to put their selfishness behind them, wants to obey the gospel, deny themselves, and give them over to God. Give yourself over to God. Allow Him to make you a new person. Allow Him to wash your sins away. Don't be caught up in doing what is right in your mind and in your eyes, but do what is right according to the words of God. If you're here and you've obeyed the gospel, you need to praise the congregation. If there's anything we can do for you, let it be known. Stand and see.